You're listening to the AHTB Cereals and Aussies podcast. Monthly highlights from your arable levy organisation.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the AHDB Cereals and Aussies podcast. I'm Paul Hill, I'm the Knowledge Exchange Manager for the South East. So, what's been happening in the South East since the last episode? Well, the weather has continued to play a huge part in progressing crops. Indeed, as I speak, some combines are rolling into winter barley and desiccation of winter oilseed rape is well on the way, with some of it not far from being cut. On the whole, crops seem to look well in the southeast, but it's too early to predict what the average yields and quality will be. Black grass control measures continue to be paramount in the southeast, with some farms glyphosating large areas of crops that are badly affected. What is clear is the fact that black grass is not the only weed that farmers need to be aware of in the southeast, as ryegrass and brome is also something that is becoming a problem. There is no quick fix method in controlling these weeds. Instead, it's more about finding a strategy that works for your farm, and then perseverance is the name of the game. Having run a few monitor farm events over the past week, it is interesting that discussions liven up when cost of production is mentioned. With the uncertain road ahead, all any farming business can do is to try and ensure they develop strategies and contingencies which can be implemented so to ensure future business robustness. Everyone has different ideas on how to do this, but what is crucial is that they know the actual costs involved with their farming enterprises. This month, we've got a jam-packed episode with news on one of our latest Horizon reports covering the post-Brexit options for UK grains, the fight against brome, insight into one of our monitor farms, and some advice on broadleaf weed management. So, to the first subject. Trade is one of the key issues which the UK's exit from the European Union presents for the combinable crop industry. Over the past five seasons, 80% of UK wheat exports and nearly 70% of barley exports went to the EU. Developing exports to non-EU markets has been touted as a way forward for the UK, and our latest Horizon report assesses what opportunities these may hold. Helen Plant, one of the report's authors, is now going to give you a snapshot of some of the key findings.
One of the headlines from the report is that a free trade deal with the EU is of critical importance for our industry. Without preferential access to the EU market, there is a very real and significant risk that in a post-Brexit world, the UK would find it more challenging to export our surplus grain into the EU. To compensate, UK grain exports may well have to look outside the protection of the EU tariff system and take on staunch competition from the dominant global producer exporting countries. There are a variety of challenges the UK would be faced with in trying to develop our non-EU export markets. Particularly, the markets that are forecast to grow are the ones that would be more difficult for the UK to supply and compete into. Some of the issues we'd face include strong price competition from lower cost producers such as Russia and Ukraine, requirements for low moisture content, so around 13% or less, typically in the Middle East and North Africa. This is for food safety reasons due to the region's climate. Requirements are also globally for grades of wheat that the UK does not produce or only produces in limited quantities, such as high-protein milling wheat. This was a factor we saw in Japan. Loss of preferential EU access to markets such as Morocco is also a risk, without further negotiations by the UK government. And the traditional preference for barley as an animal feed in the Middle East and North Africa is slowly being eroded in favour of maize. With trade, though, exports are only half the story. Imports like maize have already become an increasing feature of the UK grain market. This could become more of a feature if access to UK grain demand is provided as part of broader trade agreements with some of the world's biggest and rapidly expanding markets. All this provides a very real risk that the UK industry could be caught between a more challenging export environment and potentially freer access for the world market to UK processing capacity. With the aim of combating these challenges, the report makes five recommendations for our industry. The first is to improve our competitiveness, which is the best form of protection in competing for both exports and competing against imports. Benchmarking tools such as AHDB's FarmBench can help with this. The second is to drive productivity. By this, we mean to focus on the profitability of the farm business, something that's not necessarily linked to high production. It's more about a desire to be the best and to continually seek out margin-improving innovations. Third, as supply and consuming businesses in the same supply chain are largely interdependent on each other, collaborating is likely to be highly beneficial. Four is to improve the consistency of UK grain. As well as price, consistency can often be cited as a key driver for, say, a processor like a miller to select imported wheat over domestic supply. It's not that the production of the imported wheat results in any more consistent quality than UK grain, it's that the process it's been through to reach our shores. As such, a system of collaboration would allow UK grain to compete on a consistent quality basis with imported grain. Our final recommendation is about getting to grips with potential grain and product niches. In 2015-16, that's last season, global wheat trade was around 173 million tonnes. And the UK, though, accounted for just 1.6% of this. Clearly, we don't have the scale of a major global exporter, but the point of difference could well be in finding a handful of niches for either raw grain or grain products. We've merely touched the surface in this report, and there is a lot more detail to uncover about these. So in summary, the challenges facing the future of the grain trade are significant, and as a result, survival is likely to require an element of change. A strong-minded commercial and collaborative approach, as laid out in the recommendations, can help proactively deal with the challenges rather than waiting for change simply to arrive. You can find out more on our website at www.ahdb.org.uk/Brexit.
Next up, Brome. Brome heads, which are usually visible in June and July, are an unwelcome indication that weed control may not have gone as well as hoped. They are also a reminder that the next generation of weeds is about to meet with the combine. But with the various brome species easier to identify at this time of year, at least it provides a great opportunity to contribute to the first brome survey in decades. With this in mind, here's Jason Pohl to explain how you can play a role in the fight back against brome.
Farmers and agronomists are being asked to complete an online survey to help map the distribution of brome weeds across UK arable farms. The results, alongside experimental data, will be used to map population changes and establish the implications for weed management. You have to look back to 1989 for the last major survey of brome, and information from Northern Ireland wasn't captured at that time, so a UK survey is long overdue. It's likely that brome populations have increased since that time, and herbicide susceptibility could have altered too, which isn't surprising as brome weeds have been earmarked as being at high risk of developing resistance. In fact, herbicide resistance in worldwide brome populations has been detected, most notably sterile brome from France and Germany. Although tests on UK brome populations show none is herbicide resistant, results show that some populations have decreased susceptibility to some herbicides. As brome species are notoriously difficult to identify, people are encouraged to use identification tools and to ensure accurate species data is entered into the survey. ADAS is also providing an option to send in seed samples for identification and herbicide testing. Information from the research will be used to develop an integrated weed management system for bromes. The survey, which is part of a four-year project led by ADAS, can be accessed via cereals.ahdb.org.uk/brome until Friday, 18th of August.
For our next item, we'll be hearing from David Blacker, who's just finished hosting our Monitor Farm in York. As you will hear, he's used the Monitor Farm programme to completely turn his business around. Here he is, talking to Eleanor from our communications team.
So, firstly, why did you want to be a Monitor Farm host?
It seemed as far too good an opportunity to pass up, given that you can drive your own agenda, look at it on your soils, get the industry experts out into your own field, on your own farm, to actually have that come into your own area, on your own soil type, look at the issues that you're facing directly. Just seemed like a no-brainer, especially when you're getting the industry expert guys directly out into your location. And a lot of the time we're all dealing with the same issues and we're all faced with the same challenges. So being able to deal with that and having discussions around it on a bigger scale rather than just a one-on-one with another person, it's brought a lot more to it. So you're getting a wider field of vision and a much better discussion about what's going on from other people's opinions, not just mine.
Is there a particular meeting that stands out in your mind as delivering the most impact to your farm?
They've all been fantastic for lots of different reasons. And I don't think there's a meeting we've ever put on that everybody hasn't taken something away that you can actually implement, actually change your business and actually do something positive.
And talking of business changes, you mentioned in the meeting that You're now saving over £50,000 a year on what you were spending before the start of the programme. What's the Monitor Fund's programme's impact been on helping you to make these changes?
It's certainly given me confidence. I mean, I remember my first ever meeting. I'd never publicly spoke to anybody anywhere, and I was a bag of nerves. Yeah, I can stand up now in front of an audience and not have a problem. So there's definitely confidence things there. It's done that have been a huge benefit. But certainly having the eye of all your neighbours and knowing they're going to come and pry and look and poke, I suppose that in and of itself has made me work a bit harder on the financial side, I think. You don't want to come into this process, do it for 3 years and end up worse than you were. It would have been a pointless exercise. So it's nice that I haven't done that and I've reversed things.
And how important has the benchmarking been?
Yeah, benchmarking, I think it will continue to be very important. It just stimulates so much discussion of your strip till versus ploughing, or you can pick out blips in people's yields and then try and drive down and pin down the reasons why they've happened. It's very valuable, as much for the discussions that come out of it than the figures that you get at the end of it. They're both important.
What do you think the legacy of the programme will be to your farm business?
Paying more tax. Now, because of the things I've changed, the things I've done, the rotational aspects, I've changed everything completely. I've just literally turned my business completely on its head and got rid of all the bad bits about it and just tried to keep them focused on the good bits. Tweaked every single cost I've got. The first year I did this, I wasn't paying tax, I'd made a loss. The last 2 years I've had tax bills both times, which is good and bad. But if you're not paying tax, you're not making profit. So at least I've completely reversed the way that, and a lot of that's been driven by what we've done and what we've looked at, and that's helped me change my systems and rectify my mistakes faster, because the experts have been there to tell me where I've been going wrong, and doing that on an open platform so everybody can see has just been brilliant.
And what do you think the impact of the Monitor Fund programme is to the wider industry?
It's such an effective way of farmers to learn from farmers. Some of us are finishing, other ones are starting. It's given that opportunity to other people in different areas. Yeah, the meetings are well attended by press, so yeah, we're constantly reading about other people's meetings. The website's always up to date, so you can, if somebody had a meeting in the south of the country that you just couldn't physically get to, you can read up about it online. So it's all there waiting for you to take the most from it if you want to.
As part of the AHDB strategy, we've been asked to deliver a greatly enhanced programme of knowledge exchange. With the Monitor Farm programme thriving, as we've just heard, it's logical to build on its success for the next phase of on-farm communication. With this again in mind, here's Jason Pohl to explain how a new initiative will combine the best of innovation with cost of production approaches to help growers gauge the value of advances to their businesses.
AHDB International Benchmarking Activity shows many competitor countries in the grain market have lower costs of production compared with UK production. Benchmarking figures also reveal a large variation in cost of production, with top performers in the UK experiencing lower costs and higher yields. Based on such evidence, it is clear that most farmers should, in theory, be able to reduce their production costs and make their businesses more competitive. The good news is that our Monitor Farm programme plays a key role here through sharing performance information and best practice. No doubt sharing is great, but how does the new idea arrive on the farm in the first place? It could come from research outputs and technological developments, but how relevant and profitable is the advance in a practical setting? This is where our new strategic farms for arable growers come in. Announced at the end of June, each strategic farm will run for 6 years to allow independent research to be conducted across a full rotation on a commercial farm. As approaches showcase will be subject to full cost-benefit analyses, the new farms will help others assess potential for adoption on their own farms. Former Stowmarket Monitor farmer Brian Barker has been selected as the first strategic arable farmer, and two further commercial farms will be added in 2018 and 2019 respectively. Each strategic farm will host three open events at key stages during the cropping year, and will connect with local farmer groups, including monofarms and arable business groups. The latest series of strategic farms is in addition to those already operated by HDB, strategic potato farms and strategic dairy farms, which all look to provide robust evidence in a practical local setting to give growers the confidence to implement new ideas on their own farms. Part of AHDB's wider farm excellence platform, strategic farms open an exciting new era for on-farm experimentation. To track progress, keep an eye on serials.ahdb.org.uk/strategic farms or follow #strategic farm on Twitter.
And finally, we have John Cousins from NIAB, who runs one of the AHDB-funded projects on broadleaf weed management. Here he is with some sound advice on resistant management.
So we're here at Fordham today, really trying to get across some very strong messages about sustainability in terms of broadleaf weed management. We're focusing on four elements, the first of which is to emphasise that people need to step up their surveillance their understanding of what weeds they've got in the field, to be aware of what herbicide resistance is around in the UK, and if necessary, if they identify problems early on, to target them very carefully and to change their agronomy to reflect. I think that the second message really comes down to one of effective control. High abundance of weeds, particularly the weeds which we know in the UK we've got issues around, poppy and mayweed and chickweed in particular, we must keep the abundance of these weeds down in the field. High population level is a raw material for selection to go on and get herbicide resistance. So we do emphasise effective control rather than taking away selection pressure. The third element of these four is all about timing. Timing of application relative to the weed size, so understanding weed growth stages, how the selectivity of different herbicide changes as you go through weed growth stages, but also the key focus for the contact materials which we've got here on the site is to get control early on, small weeds, early growth stages while they're growing actively. So timing is around the conditions on application to make sure you've got active growth, but also around making sure that you've got the right weed growth stage to still have good herbicide performance from your product. And then the fourth message is really about modes of action. And we know that herbicide resistance affects specific modes of action, and we know that one of the key planks of a resistant management strategy is to combine different modes of action into a program, perhaps including some control in the autumn using soil residual activity, as well as control in the spring perhaps with more contact material. But really to think not about throwing products at the problem, but about combining different modes of action of herbicides to get really effective control in the long term.
Well, that's all from us. I'm Paul Hill, and you've been listening to the AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds podcast. Tune in again in a month's time for the next episode. In the meantime, don't forget to let us know what you think by emailing cereals.admin@ahdb.org.uk, or you can visit our website cereals.ahdb.org.uk for more information, or to follow us on Twitter at @ahdb_cereals.
Soundtrack files were created by Seri Liss, Bend the Basics, Ed DJ, Rutger Muller and Barrel Car via Freesound. Additional music was created by Jason Palm.